Good morning. I'm Crocodile Ken, and I'll be your expedition guide this morning. All these wonderful things that we have up here for the VBS, and Josh and Kobe, next Sunday we're going to make sure this one's down so it's not right in front of you. So forgive us for not recognizing that. And Brian, I'm going to use a little wisdom. I'm going to kind of move right here a little bit. So again, good morning. Let's open our Bibles. Let's open God's Word to the 16th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians as we return to Paul's closing words. We've been 3 weeks away from Paul's closing words here in this chapter that I've entitled Practical Participation in the Lord's Work. So get out your outlines, get your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we're going to continue in this word that we're looking at with the theme of practical participation in the Lord's work. If you look with me as we get there, as we find our place, at the end of chapter 15, Paul wrote this in verse 58. He said this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." That's pretty clear, isn't it, right? Don't leave your post. Be steadfast. Don't get off of this. Always be abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, as a church, as a family of God, as a Christian, as a body of Christ, as who we are, we're to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Would you give me an amen on that one? Absolutely. It's our life. It's what we're here. It's the church age. It's what God is doing in this world. He's doing, God is sovereign over all, and we're at work, and he's working through the body of Christ, his church, his design for us to do the Lord's work while we're here, and then one day to be returned or to meet the Lord and go back to heaven. So we are here to do the Lord's work, and Paul says we're to be immovable in that, abounding in that. And so right out of the heart of Paul, as we look at chapter 16, what we've been looking at, all right, here's some practical ways you can abound in the work of the Lord. That's how simple we looked at it. Here's some things that are important for you to abounding in the work of the Lord. And, you know, a few weeks ago, we looked at verses 1 through 4. That was number 1, giving to the work of the Lord. We looked at that. We're investing in the lives of people. We're investing in the people of God that are serving and living for the Lord, that they're living to do the Lord's work. It's investing in that. We looked at all the principles of that. We looked at the purpose of giving, the principles of giving, and then number 2 that we looked at a few weeks ago was found in verses 5 through 12, having vision for the Lord's work. All of us are to be looking ahead. How am I going to participate in the Lord's work? How God may use me, how I might encourage the body, how I might serve the church, how I might be involved in this. We're to be having vision. We're to be aware of, looking forward, having forward thinking, forward vision. We talked about that. We're all to be involved in that, to be looking forward in how we might participate. We looked at the principles of all of that. We need to be flexible, diligent in our present service. We need to brace each opportunity. We need to recognize the opposition. We need to have a team spirit, know that the Spirit's leading each and every one of us. All of that, we looked at that. Now we come to point 3, okay? I picked us right back up where we've been. Point 3 of our practical participation. It's in verses 13 and 14. That's what we're going to begin to look at today. Principles for living as you abound in the Lord's work. That's what Paul is talking about. Now let me give you one more review. Now as through our study, we have defined what is the Lord's work. The Lord's work is, could you define it? This is the Lord's work. This is what we're to be doing, what we're to be bounding in, not move from. The Lord's work is, here it is, sharing Christ. The Lord's work is telling others about the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and why he came, what he did. It's telling them about the gospel. It's telling them about forgiveness and restoration or reconciliation back to God. It's telling them that we can be forgiven. It's telling them about Christ. We are here to do the Lord's work. That's what the Lord was doing when he's here. I'm the Savior of the world. I take away the sins of the world. You can be reconciled back to God through faith in me. I am the life, the truth, the way, and the life. I mean, that was his work. That's our work. We're to be sharing Christ with others, abounding in that work. Another thing it is, it's living a growing testimony to the transforming, saving work of Christ. That's what our work is to be doing, what we're here. We're to be to have a testimony that, look, God saved me. God transformed me. God changed me. He's rescued me. He's delivered me. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Christ. I live this way. Look, he's working in my life. People, it should be a testimony. That's the Lord's work. He was a testimony anywhere and everywhere he went while he was here. We're to be abounding in that. That includes repentance and confession, and it includes saying all of the things that it looks like, that what it is, a testimony to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be abounding in that. And the other thing we said, it's helping others do the same. That's the work of the Lord that all of us are to be abounding in. Now, as we come to part three in our outline, Paul gives five principles for living as you do the Lord's work. Very good for us, very practical, going to encourage us. We're going to look at them. Let's read the text. Look what he says here, 13 and 14, very simple. He writes this, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love." These are five imperatives. That's a command in the Word of God, a command of God, an imperative. God's Word says, in your living, I summons you to do these things. That's how that's written. That's the Word of God. This is your living. You're to be on alert. You're to stand firm in the faith. You're to act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. He's saying, write this down in your outline there. I have a place for your outline there where I wrote those five down. Right at the side of those, here's some good things to write down, that the five principles, the five commands here. He's talking about being awake. Be on the alert. Be awake. Be watchful. Here's the way, the principles for living as we're going to abound in the work of the Lord. You got to be awake. You got to be watchful. You got to be on the alert. You have to stand firm in God's gospel truth. You have to stand firm in the Word of God, in the truth of God's Word. Act like men. Have mature courage. You have to have some maturity. You got to have some courage. Some courage to be a Christian in this world. Some courage to stand up and say, this is God's way, God's truth. I'm going to live it. I'm just going to have my convictions. That's what he's talking about. Ways of living, principles of living. You're going to have to be being strengthened by the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have a relational aspect of your life going on for you to be strong. Your strength is in Jesus Christ. You're going to have a relational aspect of that. That's how you're going to be strengthened. You're not strengthened just to be strong. I'm going to be strong. Apart from Christ, the strength I have is nothing. So he's going to encourage. That's a principle for living. And then love, let God's love be your action. Love like the Lord Jesus loved. And these five commands, these five principles for living aren't just dropped out of the sky in the text. As you read 1 Corinthians, you would think when you got here, and it's sometimes taught like that, these are just kind of random. Oh, Paul forgot to say, so he put these five imperatives in here. There's a context here. He didn't just drop them out of the sky and just say, oh, I wanted to write these things to you. Here's five good things, man. I forgot to put them in somewhere. No, they have a context. And it's easy to see the context when you think about the letter that Paul wrote. They're a rudder to the ship. That's an analogy you need to look in your mind. They're here to steer the ship out of all the things the Corinthians were struggling with. It's the end of the letter. We're to be abounding in the work of the Lord. They're living, aren't doing any of these. These are principles to help steer the ship out of the stormy seas. You go back through 1 Corinthians through the principles lived right here, these five imperatives, it'll get them out of all the high seas that they're in. We're going to look at that a little bit, so I'll show you that how that works. But guess what? They do the same for us. This is so important. They do the same for us. These principles of living get us out of the high seas of the storms of life, in a sense. If you will be awake, if you will stand firm in God's truth, if you'll have mature courage, if you'll be strengthened by the Lord Jesus, if you'll seek to do all that you do in love, God will rudder the ship and God will bring level of calmness to the water, even in the midst of a sea where the waves are high. Because participating in the Lord's work is hard, is it not? Is it challenging to share Christ? Is it challenging to live for the Lord, to be a testimony for the Lord? I mean, my flesh wants to go back to sleep. How about yours? I got to deny myself, take up the cross, follow Christ. I got to work in my life. This is a challenge thing. I got to work in my heart and mind. I just don't wake up every morning and going, tiptoeing along with the daisies and going, woo, it's so wonderful to live for the Lord. It is in my heart, in my spirit. But my flesh says, no, I want pancakes and hash browns and eggs and country gravy and biscuits. And I want to sit there and kick back, right? Humanity, it's real, right? It's challenging to participate in the Lord's work, to live for Christ each and every day and all the things of your life. There's a fight going on. There's a battle. And then there's the world and all the seas that are going on. And these five principles in your life are going to calm the water. That's what we're going to kind of look at it like. So today we're going to look at one principle. We're just going to get one out of the five. We're looking at one by looking at one today. Be on the alert. It's right there. The first says, be on the alert. Now you see the context, how it applies. One word in the original language, gregoreo, is a Greek word. This is one word. And it means to watch, to be awake, to be alert, to be vigilant. It's an active verb, continuous action imperative. Now you might say, oh, I don't know what that means. That means it's a continual action that God is summoning you to have in your life all the time. Believer in Christ, Christian, God says in his word, I summons out of your new life in Christ that you be on alert, you be watchful, you be awake continually. God's word. Here's an interesting, important aspect of what he's talking about. This is what it's saying. It's in second person plural. He's saying you all. God is talking to us. He's talking to the church. It's not an individual thing. He's talking to us, body of Christ, Christianity, Christians, church, us. You all need to be awake. You all need to be watchful. You all need to be alert continually. That's the principle for living, body of Christ, family of God. You all, we need to be watchful. We need to be helping each other with it. We need to be leading each other with it. We need to be paying attention to each other in it. You are all to be on alert at all time, continually, to be watchful, to be awake, meaning you can't sleep. This word sometimes refers to being physically awake. Look at the beginning, the front of your Bible. Did anybody smile today? Don't you love that? That's what he's talking about. Sometimes it refers to just that, you know, sleeping, which, you know, I've seen that from up here from time to time. But that's okay. The Lord is at work. And life is life. We're our humanity. Now, other times it refers to being physically alive. 22 times in the New Testament, physically alive or dead. But it often refers to being spiritually awake opposed to being spiritually asleep. That's what it refers to right here. He's talking to us. Command of God, imperative, continuous action for all of us. You all should be awake, need to be awake. Continually. Spiritually awake. That's what he's talking about. Turn your Bibles to Romans 13. Let's look at 11 through 14 there. This is the same idea here. I want us to capture this and what he's talking about because this is important in our life. We would recognize when we are not awake. We would recognize sometimes when we are sleeping, but you know, in that kind of thing. But I want us to grab this. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. Turn your Bibles there with me. This is the same idea of this imperative, what Paul wrote here in Romans 13. Look at it with me. He says this. Verse 11 begins with, do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. Let me give you a moment to find it in your Bible. I hear pages turning. I don't want to go along without you there. But it's Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. Let me begin again and read it. What Paul is writing to these Christians. He says, knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. That's what he's talking about, awaken. You know what it means to awaken from sleep. He's talking about spiritually awakening. Salvation is nearing to us than we have believed. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Verse 13, let us behave properly as in the day, not carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and in sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. Now, did you hear what he said? Wake up. The way you live your life matters. Isn't that what he said? It's no time to be spiritually asleep and allow certain things going on in your life. We need to be awake. We need to be awakened. We need to come to here. We need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know if you're asleep, you know what happens to you and me? Lust. That is absolutely true. When you're not spiritually awake, you want, you desire, you lust, pride, all of that. We'll look at that later. That's what happens in our life. We got to spiritually be awake. Because we're fighting those things. Christian, this is what we are. This is who we are. This is the battle in life. This is what it is to be a Christian, to live in this life. And so we have to be awake. And so Paul is talking to them. You got to be watchful, alert, awake, spiritually. Pay attention. The Corinthians haven't been. They're slumbering through the whole deal. Have you noticed that when we went through 1 Corinthians? Then it kind of challenged your heart. Gosh, these guys just aren't paying attention. They're just not awake. And so Paul is answering them and how they're going to get level water, how they're going to get out of the high seas. Let me tell you, if you're not spiritually awake, you'll find your life where these waves just seem to be going over top of you because you're not getting the right perspective. That's just a biblical truth about life. They're not awake. They're slumbering. Let's look at it a little bit so you see what I'm talking about. Open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. we've been through all of this, but let's just look a little bit at them and their life and see how to be on the alert, to be awake, to be watchful, this being spiritually awake was really the challenge that they had going on. Let's look at it at the text in the Word of God and see that, yeah, that would really be a great answer right here. Spiritually awaken your heart and mind. Chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Listen to it again. Listen to what he says. Paul writes, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." That sound like, hey, wake up? Your wife says to your husband, "Let me tell you, I need to exhort you to help you put the laundry in the right place, and I want you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." You think she's telling you to wake up? I mean, that's the idea. That's God's word. That's what he's saying. He's exhorting them. They're not paying attention, and he does it in the name of Christ. Listen to what he says, that you all agree. Now, you remember what we talked about, the word agree there. That means you all speak the same things, that you all teach the same things, talk about the same things in the sense of be oneness, be in unity, and how what you're saying is the truth of God. He says, I exhort you to be that way. Let God do that in your life. Listen to what he says. That there be no division among you, that you be made complete in the same mind and the same judgment. God does that. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. And they're continuing. Now let me ask you, husband and wife, you guys aren't saying the same thing to kids. No, you can eat the chocolate cake. No, you can't have the chocolate cake. No, you can eat it. No, you can have it. Oh, we disagree. We're quarreling. Hey, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. No, you're not telling us what we're going to do. And you go just on living your life. Are you spiritually awake? You're not spiritually awake to, well, that's not honoring God. I'm not in relationship with my wife the right way. We're speaking different things to the kids. We're not agreeing what we're saying. Wow, that's asleep, isn't it? This is going on in the church. Nobody's doing anything about it. See, you see being on the alert, being awake, being watchful, how much that would have helped them. Hey, are you guys paying attention? I mean, if we all had battle things here and forks, knives, and those kind of things, and we were just kind of poking each other all day long, are we spiritually awake? See, that's what Paul is really addressing, the whole thing here. We got to work those things out. Turn your Bibles to 3. Let's just look a little bit. Chapter 3, look verse 3 and 4. Remember when he talked to them here. Listen to what he said. Chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. For you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Aren't you not walking like mere men? For when one says, I'm of Paul, another says, I'm Apollos, are you not like mere men? Now just be spiritually asleep. You're walking by the flesh, right? You walk by the Spirit, you don't carry out the desires of the flesh. You walk by the flesh, you carry out the desires of the flesh. You got to be asleep spiritually. You got jealousy and strife. You got all that going on. You have that going on in your home, jealousy, strife, all that kind of stuff, and you're not working on it. You're not addressing it. You're not asking God to help you in it. You're not. We're just walking like people. That's not being awake. Not. 4:7, he says this, for who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast? They got arrogance, pride. I'm better than you. I'm more superior than you. Now, body of Christ, this is a command to us. If anybody was in here walking around and saying, oh, I'm better than you and I'm superior than you, God's worked in my life, I got more things than you, and God's worked more in my life and I'm superior, are you awake spiritually? You see the answers to be on alert here. And we could go to chapter 5, people, open immorality. You come into church, nobody's saying a thing. Chapter 6, suing each other. Nobody wise enough to talk them out of it or talk them the way through it. 10:14, idolatry, worshiping things over God. Chapter 12, 1 through 3, misuse of spiritual gifts. Boy, I'm wonderful. I got this gift and everybody should recognize me. That's not spiritually awake. Chapter 13, no love going on. You see, it's the answer to it's. It fits right into in. It's the ruddering to the ship out of the things of life. Is that we need to be spiritually awake. We need to be watchful. So, in your outline, what I did is through the scriptures, there here are 6 things every Christian is to watch for, to be awake about, or have alertness for. That's what we're going to do. It's in your outline. 6 things. This is good. This is encouraging. This helps us in our life in Christ fulfill the command of God, the Word of God. I got them A, B, C, D, E, and F in your outline. So number A in your outline, look at it with me. You got to watch for apathy or indifference. Hey, you got to watch for it. You got to watch for it if you're indifferent to God's word, God's truth, God's way, God's will, apathetic toward it, that in your own heart and mind, you're just like, doesn't matter. I'm not really paying attention. Didn't speak to me. Didn't have anything for me. I'm not really sure. It's being that. You got to look in your own heart. You got to watch for it in your own life. You all be on awake, be alert, be watchful. We got to watch it for each other's life. We have to help each other. Remember Romans 13, 11, and 12? Knowing that the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep for salvation is nearer to us than we have believed. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. You know it means, it matters, it's important today not to be indifferent to the word of God. Indifference, apathy is like, oh, well, one day I'll go that way. One day I'll apply these things to my life. Wait till I get this going on. Wait till I got going on. I got to work this out in my life. I got to do, you know what? We cannot procrastinate. Good job, Ken. But we can't. We can't procrastinate to being watchful to God's truth, God's will, God's word. It doesn't do any good to wait. It does good to be awake and to watch and to be on alert. That means if you wait, if you're just saying, well, it's just, you know, I'm going to wait so some things come out of my life. What you are is you're not watching your heart to be apathy or indifferent to what God is saying. Time is short. The world is changing. You guys all know that. You've seen the news. We can't be apathetic on following Christ in the midst of what we're at with our culture and our world. We're not angry at people. We're not hating people. What we are is just saying, you know, Lord, what opportunity you have here. The world does not see God's truth. Our society does not see. The natural man cannot understand the things of God. In their mind and heart, this is all right. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to be the testimony? Who's going to do the work of the Lord? Our government isn't. The body of Christ, the church, you all, we got to be watchful. We can't have indifference and apathy toward the things of God. Paul told the elders at Ephesus, Acts 20, 31, I think it is. You got to be on watch. You got to be on the alert, watchful for yourselves and for the flock of God. He didn't say occasionally. He said all the time. But let's go a little deeper here. Let's apply this. Turn your Bibles to Revelation 3. Revelation 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Let's go a little deeper in this because, you know, we can kind of fall. I'm sort of not indifferent. I'm sort of not kind of have apathy toward the kind of things. You know, let's go deeper. Let's really look in God's word here and see how Jesus views this and how he wants it in our life. And here Jesus is writing to the church at Sardis. He's writing to them and he knows their life and he's answering their life. He's writing to a body of Christ. And you know what? We can put right in there, he's writing to Living Word Fellowship, okay? Now, maybe the context isn't the same. Maybe the things that aren't going on that are the same, but he writes, he speaks to the body of Christ, the church, so he speaks to us as a whole, he speaks to us as a family of God. And here he writes in chapter 3, verse 1, he's talking to them about knowing their deeds and their indifference to God's will, God's way, God's word. Listen to what he says. Right in the middle of verse 1, he says this, I know your deeds. Listen, Jesus Christ knows our deeds. Can I get an amen there? Does he know all of your deeds? Does he know some of your deeds? Does he know the ones you do for him, the ones you don't for him? Does he know everything that you do? Does God know everything you do? God knows. God knows your heart. God knows your life. He's not judgmental. God is encouragement over the top. God is the greatest leader in the world because he knows how to lead. He knows how to guide. He has boundaries. And he's just trying to get you out of all of that that he doesn't want for you in your life. He's incredibly the greatest father ever. Okay? And he knows everything you do. Listen to what he says. That you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian, a follower of Christ. But he knows if you are asleep, if you're not awake. He knows your deeds. He knows if you're spiritually awake or not. He's not hammering you. He's not shooting things at you. He's not mad at you. He's not like, oh, pathetic you. He's not like, oh, I'm no condemnation in Christ. God is saying, awaken in every which way he can. You still have to choose it in your own life. Sometimes it's hard things in your life. I talked to somebody a couple of weeks ago. Been a Christian for 35 years. Living their life. Thing going on. The name of Christ. Kind of walking slowly. Something traumatic happened in their life. Their indifference went right out the window. God brought them to awaken. They were saved. They believed in Christ. They trusted in the Lord. You know, God's the one in charge here. God's the one with the rudder. God's the one doing all this. So listen to what Jesus says. This is so powerful, what he says. He says, I know that you're indifferent to God's will, God's way. You're apathetic toward living for the Lord, is what Christ sees to this church. And look what he says in verse 2. Wake up. He just says, wake up. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received, and remember what you have heard, and keep it and repent. See, that's the Lord toward us. That's God toward us. That's what he says. You have to watch being indifferent to what you have heard and what you receive. What have you heard? You gotta watch your heart, whether you're apathetic or have apathy or indifferent to what you've heard. What have you heard? The Word of God is what he's talking about. You can't be indifferent to it. You know, you study on Wednesday, you go to study on Tuesday, you read your Bible during the week, you come to Sunday school and you learn, you listen to Pastor Ken, the message, and here's the message preached, God's Word, God's truth. You're the one that knows in your heart if you're indifferent to what God's Word is being said. Do you apply it to your life? Do you act upon what is said? Do you listen to the Word of God? Do you say, you know, Lord, what has that spoke to me in? How am I applying this in my life? What does this mean? What is this? Am I acting upon it or not? You're the one that knows. But Jesus Christ also knows. And if you're indifferent to God's Word, if you're like, oh, well, you know, I'll take to leave that, or you're apathetic to what God is teaching, God is saying just spiritually awake. Apply it in your life. This is what Paul is teaching. This is what he's teaching us. Hey, I have to address my life in this area. And are you being indifferent to what you have received? This is what Jesus says, to what you received. What have you received? I received the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. I've been reconciled back to God. No part on my own, no work on my own, only by the grace of God. I've been restored in this incredible relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have all hope, all truth. I have all encouragement in this life to live for the Lord. I can trust God with my life now because he has got the rudder of the ship, and I have eternal security in this place of new heaven and earth that God has made where there'll be no sin, no sorrow, and I will spend eternity with all of you, all my brothers and sisters in Christ, with God in the place that he has planned and purposed and designed for us to be in. I don't want to forget what I've received. I don't want to be indifferent to what God did in my life. I don't want to walk in this life and be indifferent to that. Apart from the saving grace of Christ, I'm on the other side. That's what you cannot forget. Because if you forget that, you start being indifferent and apathetic, and you start living for whatever you want to write in there. Because there's nobody in the room, nobody on the planet, nobody ever that deserved it, earned it, God gave it. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? That is the truth of each one of us walking here today, reconciled back to God, that had the saving grace of eternal life. It wasn't on your goodness or mine. You are wretched, right? We cannot forget what we've received. Jesus is saying, you're not listening to my word on how to live in this life, and you've totally forgot what I gave you. That's not spiritually awake. That's not. That's being asleep. You got to watch for apathy in your heart. Let's look at the Corinthians real quickly. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. This is true. This is why I'm applying it back to 1 Corinthians. So you see that these were the answers to them in their life. It wasn't so much that they didn't have doctrinal truth. It wasn't so much that they didn't know. It wasn't so much that Paul hadn't told them. What it was they weren't alert. They weren't awake. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, listen to what he has to say here. Where am I in my notes? There I am. So many times, 10 times Paul wrote, do you not know? And he's implying they knew full well, but indifferent and apathy toward what they knew made it seem like they didn't know. You ever do that with your kids? Don't you know you can't keep doing that? And they act like they don't know, right? But they do know, right? But you say, don't you know? Parents, we do that. Don't you know that you can't stick the fork in the socket? This is the third time. Don't you know? You're acting like you don't know, but you do know. That's what Paul is writing. They know. They absolutely know. 10 times he writes this. Chapter 3, verse 16 and following. Listen to what he says. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? They absolutely know. If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Those are all second person plural yous. Don't you know you all are the sanctuary of God? Don't you know that you all are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know the Spirit of God dwells in God's church, God's people? Don't you know if you destroy the body of Christ, God's church, and what it stands for, God's not going to be happy? Church, don't you know that? Help me, do you know that? God's word says that. That's the truth of God's word. Don't you know? And they're living like they don't know. They're indifferent to it. Look at 18 and 19. Look what it says. Let no one deceive himself. If any man among you thinks he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness before God. Let me tell you something. If you're indifferent or have apathy, it brings deception. If you get indifferent to God's word, God's truth, you start to believe your wisdom is better than his. And that's what they're doing. Man's wisdom is above God's. Tell me, isn't that true in your own life? You get indifferent to the things of God, you start thinking you have man's wisdom has a better way to do this. I'm the testimony of me. Amen, Lord. As soon as I get off you and get indifferent to what you have said and how you've said it and your will, your way, as I get indifferent or apathetic, you know, I'm not trying to do, I'm just like, I quickly move to deception to think that in my own self, in my own wisdom, I got a better way. Wow. Human wisdom is above God's. Isn't that Corinthians? That's what they're doing. Well, they're being watchful. I'm going to tell you right now, your way will never be better than God's. I don't care how successful it turns out. Because it's not working out for the good of all those that love God. It's just working out for your self-gratification. And it may look wonderful. But it's man's wisdom. It doesn't work out with what God's doing. See, this is important, isn't it? I'm going to kind of shorten that up, not go you some. He said the same thing in chapter 6, verse 15 through 20. Don't you know that what you join yourself to, you join yourself with the Lord? Do you guys know that wherever you go, whatever you do, you walk with Christ? Church, do we know? Christ in you, the hope of glory, whatever you're a part of, whatever you join yourself to, whatever you participate in, Christ participates in it with you. Your life is hidden in Christ, Christ in you, you in Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. That in that passage it says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity dwells within you, God himself, that whatever you join yourself to, you join the Lord to. Then why are you joining yourself to the things you're joining to? Don't you know you've been bought with a price and you're not your own? That's what that passage says. They absolutely knew that, but they were indifferent to what God had said, so they just kind of joined themselves to whatever they wanted to join themselves to. Moving along here, you got to watch for indifference and repent. Like Jesus said, next on our outline, be on the alert against Satan. It's on your outline there. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. On your outline, second thing here that we need to be alert on or awake on, watch for apathy and indifference. We got to be alert against Satan. 1 Peter 5, 8, 9. This is good. These next three really kind of go together. Church, Christians, believers in Christ, we need to be awake. 1 Peter 5, 8, 9. Listen to what Peter wrote. He wrote this. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, Christian adversary, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith. Listen, Satan is against you living for the Lord. 1 John 2:16 says this, all that's in the world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. John 8, 42 through 44 says this, the spirit of this world, the spirit of this life, the message of this life, the message of this world, Satan himself speaks to your flesh. And it speaks lust, pride. It's trying to entice you. It's trying to get you to follow it. It's against what God has for you, and it's enticing you. You got to be awake. You got to be alert to that against Satan. And what he's doing is using the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, boastful pride of life, all this, what this world is, to get, entice you, to lust you, that you should do this, you should have that, you should be this, you should be recognized, you should be all these kind of things in our heart. He wants to pounce. He wants to get you self-focused, to devour you. That's what's going on. Satan is alluring you to follow your self-gratification, and it's not going to stop until Christ returns. That's going on in this life. You got to be awake. You got to be awake, right? We got to be awake. That's what's going on in this world. That's why we care for our children and we protect them from the things that are out there, because we see the things that are in the world are trying to allure them to believe this truth, to act upon this, that they deserve this, that this is the way the world should be. Same thing for us. It's all out there. You have to be on the alert. It goes right along with what's next. You got to be awake to temptation. Look at the front of your bulletin again. Look at the front of your bulletin. You got to be awake to temptation. That's the same word. Keep watching. It's the same word that we're talking about. It's the same word, same imperative, same command. You got to keep alert. You got to be watchful. You got to be awake and praying that you may not come into temptation. Look at the second part of the verse. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Listen, your flesh is weak to coming into temptation. Without God, without you focusing, without you being awake, your flesh will be tempted and your flesh will sin. That's all that goes. You're going to be enticed by self-gratification, the way you, what you want, what makes you happy. This is just a reality that we're in. We got to be awake to these kind of things. Nothing wrong with doing, living life, doing the things we're thinking, but you need to be awake. He says, awake and praying. You got to keep watch, same word, be awakened, so that you may not come into temptation, means follow the temptation. That's what he's talking about. Jesus said in Luke 21:36, keep on alert at all times to what's coming. Temptation to sin is always there. As I've looked and studied scriptures, I see it deeper than just that. I'm going to be tempted to steal or take or be selfish or whatever. I see it's much deeper than that. Listen to this. The whole time, especially in this age, the temptation is to think that what you do daily in the simple things of life, even as you would in your heart say you're serving God, doesn't matter. Listen to me for a moment. The enemy is promoted to the Christian in the world. This is the temptation. This is the thing that comes to the body of Christ, that what you do living for the Lord in the simple things of life, doing the things that God has you do, to serving basically in church, to raising your kids the right way, to loving your wife, to caring about your neighbor, doesn't matter. That's the deception. Because what we look at upon the answer to that is the results in the world. God says, don't look at the results in the world. Trust me, believe in me, have faith in me. I've got the rudder. It absolutely, positively matters. And God's over all of that. We are not. And what he's trying to do is get the church apathetic and indifferent to living for the Lord. That's been going on from the beginning of the New Testament. It absolutely matters. Whether you see it or not, whether I see it or not, God says it absolutely matters, and it's bringing about the work of God. It absolutely matters, even if the nation that you live in goes the way it's going now. It absolutely matters. And we don't have to compare it. We don't have to look, well, where would it have been if we didn't serve the Lord? That doesn't mean nothing. What means something is whether or not you're awake to serving the Lord, doing the Lord's work. And God's got it. You got to be awakened to temptation against Satan's lies and watch for indifference. Another one there would be to teach. Scriptures teach you got to be alert for false teachers. There are many people in this world, many that teach destructive heresies. Many think with the communication that we have in this age, we are overloaded in the world now with wrong philosophical views of God, of truth, of God's will, of God's way, wrong answers to life challenges, wrong views of God's creative purpose. They're all over the place. You got to be awake. You got to be awake to the truth of God, the way of God. You need to be in a body of Christ that preaches the word of God, that lives the truth of God's word, and you have to be in God's word. I mean, if you want to think of the end, you can't just watch anybody on TV. You just can't listen to people on the radio. You just can't be all over the internet. I mean, parents, the children, you need to teach them and that Facebook and all of that out there. The philosophical view that's presented on all of that is from someone with no biblical understanding 99% of the time. No eyes to see. They don't have the answer to life. They don't have the way this works out. They don't have any of that. Not putting people down, but I had no idea on how to live this life apart from Christ until God saved me. And people promote, this world promotes, that the answer to all of this is a magic pill, a magic bullet, a simple thing. You can't listen. We are being bombarded with what is said is true. That works. That's how they present it. It works. That's what makes it true. That's why I told you and I want to teach you and have you in your heart. It isn't a matter about looking up and balancing it and seeing, well, this is working out better. It must be what got... This all comes to an end here. This gets pretty, pretty tough at the end here. So there's no way a Christian could look and say, oh, it's all just being wonderful, following the Lord. It's coming. God's plan and purpose is to return and end of most existence here and take us out of here. I mean, I'm not saying that's coming or anything like that, but our life is about the Lord's work, not about how we get out of God a life that works and that we want. That's important in this. That's spiritually awake. A couple more quickly. Here's a positive about being awake. And we saw today, thank you for sharing that, Brian, today. You got to be awake and watch for the Lord's return. Maybe in our world today in the church, the biggest indifference in the church is being ready, watching, anticipating eagerly the Lord's return. The scripture all, listen to what he read in Mark 13, 37. 33 through 37. Jesus said five times, be on the alert, and all of you be on the alert. Hey, I'm going to come. I'm going to return. That's such a big passage because he says, you know, I got to look at it now because my brain doesn't have it all in my head, but Mark 13, this is so important in our heart and mind that we're looking for the return of the Lord. Take heed, he said in verse 33, keep on the alert. Same word here, you guys. Same word. He's imperative. A command in the plural, continuous, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. None of us know when the time will come. It is like a man who went away on a journey upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task and commanding the doorkeeper to stay alert. We looked at that when we started this message. The task is the work of the Lord. God has assigned us a task, church, to share Christ, to live a testimony of Christ, and to help others do so. And he's going to return. He's going to return. He's going to see if we've done the task. That's what he's going to be looking for. That's what he's going to be looking at. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening or in midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. That is just powerful. That we have to have an eager anticipation. Christ will return. Let me ask you something. If Christ, this today is Sunday, right? If you knew Christ was returning on Wednesday, let me ask you, are you going to live different Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Tuesday? Be honest with me. Tell me. Come on, help me. Right? What's in us that God knows he has to promote us? You got to live every day like he might return. Because if you put that off, if you become indifferent to that, you'll live differently. He's not coming back till 2097. He's not coming back in my lifetime. How would you live if he came back tomorrow? Church, he's asking us to live that way now. That's just the way he's asked us to live. What would be important today if he came back tomorrow? What would be important? Certainly, if you had somebody in your life you've been wanting to share Christ with. That doesn't mean you got to go run to them and hold them up, shake them, and say, "The Lord's returning tomorrow. You got to get saved." Doesn't mean that. It means in your heart. Because God may say, you know, there's a time he's waiting on all of that. You know, if God is telling you, well, it's probably next Thursday when you go to the gym, you're going to share with him, then you can trust that the Lord won't return till Thursday. But you see what he's talking about. So we got to be awake to this. Last encouragement from scriptures about being awake. You got to keep alert in prayer. Look at your bulletin. Keep watch and praying that you may not come into temptation, that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Listen, you got to stay alert in prayer. You got to stay awake, spiritually awake, and pray. Speak to God, seek him, ask him. He's the one with the rudder in his hand. He's the captain of the ship. You got to talk to God. He will communicate with you. He always communicates with you. He'll talk to you about the way, the truth, and the life. This is a relational aspect of Christianity. You got to talk to God. So we're to be on the alert. We're to abound in the Lord's work. We're to watch that we're not being indifferent to God's word, God's will, God's way. We got to be on alert to Satan as he opposes us and draws us through the flesh, through lust and pride of life. He will tempt us, and the false that's being taught as true is going to try to harm us, take us the wrong way, and we have to have our eyes on our eyes of our heart, eagerly anticipating the Lord's return, saying this quickly and in constant communication with the Lord. And then he levels the water out. Not that the hard things in life aren't there. Not that the struggles that you have aren't there. Not that the challenges that you have aren't there. But somehow the water gets level. As we do this in our life. This is the truth. This is how God. It doesn't mean that hard things aren't there. But our focus becomes on trusting in God, believing in him, having him lead us through this life. It's being awake. So church, here's my exhortation today. Let's be awake. What do you think? Right? This is a good one to just put up somewhere in your house, in your car. Just look at that. You see that? And the spirit's willing, but I want to sleep. It's a good one. And as we close, let me encourage you with this. Go ahead and have the praise team come up. We'll do our closing song. Maybe we just need to repent. Think about that with me for a moment. What did Jesus say? He didn't say, "Oh man, you guys are all messed up. There's no help for you. Yeah, I know your deeds, man. Throw you off the boat, man." What did he say? Repent. What does God always say? Repent. What's repent mean? "Lord, I agree with you. That's not what you want in my life. I agree I want to go a different way. I'm going to go this way now. I'm going to try to be awake. I want to be spiritually awake to the things in my life. I want to be alert. I want to be watchful. You know, I recognize that I'm not. I want to turn and go away. Lord, will you walk with me in this? Will you bring some accountability in my life? Will you change my heart? Will you give me a testimony of Jesus Christ that when I just asked that you would help me here, and then I walked with you, and all of a sudden I'm just different, that I can stand before people and say, God is the answer to life." See, that's what God is doing. I think repentance sometimes is the greatest testimony of all of how God is at work in our lives. I know it is. So maybe today you just have to repent. Maybe that's what's in your heart. And God will work. God will walk us through. So before we stand and sing, let me close in prayer, Josh, and will you lead us in closing song? Lord, you see each one of us here today. Man, what a welcome sight, Lord, to see in your word, your truth, that you're not judging us in condemnation. You're not against us in any way. There could be nothing greater in this world for us but you, and you alone. We sang it today, Lord. Maybe we just need to surrender. Maybe we just need to say, "Lord, I just give it to you." Maybe we just need to turn. I know, Lord, in my own life, it's a constant thing with me to hand back what I'm not to hold, to say, "This is yours, Lord. I'm going to follow you, trust in you, believe in you, follow you. Use me, Lord. Help me with all of my anxiety. Help me with all of my worry. Help me with all the difficult things in this life, the challenges and the things that I want it to be like, and it's not. And Lord, use me to glorify yourself. Can there be anything greater than that in this life, even though it might cost me everything that I've ever wanted? There's nothing greater than doing the Lord's work here. Help us, Lord, to be strong, to be faithful, to be men and women of courage, to stand firm in your truth, to love in all that we do. Lord, to be on the alert for your work in your way. Thank you for the privilege. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.